They are a sweet couple, and yesterday came and dropped pizza off and sat with us and shared even more of their story. And I'm just thankful for all of you that have shared your story. And remember, if you're interested in sharing your story, please let us know. We want to hear it. We're going to do it in different avenues from this point forward. Today's the last day of Join the Journey. I do want to take a moment and just say thank you to all of you that helped us move. You were so gracious and so helpful. And I just need you to know, from my family to yours, we could not have done it without you. Some of you just showed up at the right moment and helped us at the right moment. And I'll tell you this much. If you have six kids, don't move. If your wife says it's a good idea, say it's not a good idea. So, and then when she gets sick at 2:30 on a Friday and none of the clothes or food is put away, come call me and I'll say, look, don't do it. Just stay where you're at. So, but not if it's God's will. If God wants you to do that, then you should. But I am grateful. You are a tremendous church family, and I just love you so much, and our love for you just continues to grow. And I hope that your love for us continues to grow as we fall more and more in love with Jesus. And so we're glad to have you today. Do you all like the aftermath? I have to use a moving example just for fun. Is that okay? When you think about moving, okay, you know when it really starts? Is when you get home and you can't find anything to get ready and you look around and everything's stacked as tall as you are. That's called the aftermath of moving. Are you with me there? Yes. And so if you want to come unpack boxes, just stop by. We can't feed you, but we can at least, I think, give you a drink or a banana or something. I don't know. But the aftermath, you know, oftentimes we make decisions, right? We make decisions and there's always an aftermath. Did you know there's always a product of a decision that we make? Whether it be good, indifferent, bad, there are always what? Consequences to decisions. And consequences are not always bad. Consequences are often, when we're on the path with the Lord, are good. And so I think sometimes we think consequences and we immediately think, oh my goodness, you know, that's going to be a negative. Well, it's not. See, when we're living in the kingdom of God, oftentimes the consequences of following Him and being faithful are tremendous. And so today, we're going to look at a scripture, and I want you to go with me on this. As I was studying this the last couple of weeks, I realized, because I tried to look for other people that have preached this, very few have preached on this. And as I studied, many theologians don't want to touch it. And there's some reasons that I'm going to give you on why they don't want to touch it. It's significant, but I think it's worth us sharing. And so if you have your Bibles, would you please turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. And once you have that, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word today. Now, most of you will immediately know just by the chapter that we are in the events surrounding what? The death of Jesus. You should know Matthew 27, all about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so here we're right in the middle of it. And there's a certain portion that we're going to study today that I want you to get that oftentimes we just let go. Now remember, this is after, okay, after he has passed away. It's kind of the moments following all these things happened. A lot of things which we just kind of overlook because we're focused in on what happened to Jesus. Well, today we're going to focus in on what happened to the saints following the death of Jesus Christ. And so we'll begin here in 51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn. It was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. And I want you to hear this. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection. Think about this. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. God, we've been on a journey that you have put us on, that you have challenged me to speak, that you have challenged me to live by. And so today, as I speak these last words in this series, God, inspire us, speak through me. We ask today, Lord, that every word would come from your throne. And we ask today, God, that you would bind the hands of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And today, because of the power that comes with the resurrection, we can stand in life. We can stand in goodness. We can stand in wholeness. God, we can stand with you with our entire hearts exposed to you today. And so today, come and speak to us so that our tombs, God, so that our tombs can be cracked open and so that we can raise and be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's a tremendous message in this, and this is one of those passages that are just kind of skimmed over. Are you all really excited about this? Have you read about this or studied about this before? So Pastor Cable left me nothing. You know what I'm saying? What am I going to do with him, right? I mean, after 25 years, it's hard to follow that. So we appreciate his ministry. I want to talk to you just for a second here about the scene, and I want to just highlight some things before we get into it, okay? First of all, we're talking about saints. We're going to get into that. We're not just talking about anybody, right? We're talking about the saints. That's key. We're going to understand that in a minute. We're also talking about following the resurrection, tombs that were cracked open, people rose up, and they walked the city. Now imagine if your great-grandfather, right, and back then they didn't have phones and Facebooks where they could go back and say, hey, look, that is our grandfather, that is our grandmother, yes, there she is. It was just by memory, and I want you to think about how crazy this scene would have been. As Jesus walks in his glorified form and begins to speak and do things that John tells us what, it couldn't be recorded what he did. But guess who else was walking as well? The saints in the holy city. Church, this was bigger than we often just allow ourselves to remember. We often think about it just in what Jesus did in those days. But Jesus opened up an avenue for the dead to come alive. Jesus has opened up an avenue for us, right, in our sin, in our death, because see, sin is death. And he's opened up an avenue so that we do not have to experience death. And so the saints appear in Jerusalem, the mother city. Think about it. The mother city that had rejected Jesus as proof of his victory. Now let me just tell you something. Can we have a little bit of fun? Is that okay? Are you all awake? All right, good. I just need to make sure you're here with me, okay? I know it's not Easter, but we're going to be a little Easter-like today. What I want you to think about here, I mean, think about it. He could have chosen any place for these saints to go. And you know what he did? He said, hey, you rejected me. I'm going to send them there and shock you. I feel like God has a sense of humor. Sometimes we just overlook it. I believe that he believes in joy. And so guess what he did? He sent the saints back to the city that rejected him and said, hey, those of you that were faithful, let me encourage you too. And church, today, as you are faithful, he will send people to encourage you, to lift you up, to strengthen you. All right, so let's first talk about a saint. Now, what I'm going to do at the end of this is something I don't normally do, and I'm going to wrap up the whole series together and remind you of some things. Because I believe that if you can understand the last couple of weeks, you can say to yourself, you know what, humbly, I am a saint. Church, I've said this to you before, you're actually saints. We just don't like to say it, right? Because we want to live inferior lives, and we want to say that the enemy tells us we shouldn't live in that boldness, and yet God's given us power, he's given us victory, he's given us the Holy Spirit, and so we can live in that power. We can live as the saints of God, but we have to live out the last couple of weeks. And see, many of us, when we wrap that up in our minds, we have a hard time adhering to all those things, to live as the saints of God. So let's first talk about saints. They're consecrated. What does that mean? I can't say that too many times. What does that mean? They're set apart. They're set apart for the purposes of God. Church, you are what? Set apart for the purposes of God. Not only are they set apart for those, they were devoted to them. I believe, and this is just my own theory, that the saints that came out of the tombs were not just people that lived haphazardly. They were not people that just kind of meandered through life and served God unfaithfully. I don't believe that those tombs would have been opened unless. And many theologians believe that they may not agree on all of this, but they agree on the fact that these saints would have had to have been truly devoted followers of God. Church, are you a true follower of God, or are you in and out? Now, I don't feel young today, but I think I'm pretty young, and I believe that we as Christians, my age and below, we have to stop being in and out. We are relying on many of you to keep the faith, and praise God that you do. But some of us in this, we couldn't be described as a saint who's not in and out, wishy-washy. The tombs that were opened were not opened to individuals who I believe were not devoted. Think about holy. I believe they would have been holy people, people living righteous lives, people placing themselves aside and allowing God to come in and move. I believe they would have been beyond faithful. You know why? I mean, just think about it. We don't think about this scene often. But he allowed them to rise from the what? The dead, and go be the testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm pretty sure if they were the testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were some interesting, faithful, loyal, holy, set apart, beyond faithful people. Because the last thing God wants to do is release you into a place where you're not really ready to be. And you know what else? It wasn't just about them. Most theologians believe it was also about the family and the friends and those that would have remembered and say, oh my word, meaning if you are faithful, this is the... I mean, think about the encouragement. Jesus walking on earth, he couldn't go everywhere. And so God said, let me send some saints around to say the resurrection's real. Because what do you mean? Somebody that's been dead for many years just appears again and everybody sees them and everybody's giving testimony to that? Church, this is exciting. Think about this. These saints must have been passionate followers of Jesus. They must have believed that sacrifice is the key. Sacrifice is where the American church, right, has a stopping point, because we don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to stop watching that because it, we don't want to stop going there because it, we don't want to, we just want to put our heads down and we want to, and maybe he's not calling us to put our heads down. See, here's the thing about this. It has really formed my mind throughout this. He didn't send those saints into the city that rejected Jesus so they could put their head down and just go about their business. No, he sent them there so they could walk boldly in the resurrection and the power of Jesus that they were given. Here's another thing that we get confused about. Saints are not to be prayed to. So if you have a Catholic background, I apologize for taking this step. But they're not to be prayed to, but they are to be looked up to. The only person we should pray to is who? Jesus, because he's the avenue to the Father. And so, church, as we begin to close this out, could you passionately say that you qualify, or if you wrote this list down, those check marks would just keep coming because each of these areas describe you. And see, church, do you want your tomb opened? There's a lot of theology based around this and other things about, you know, are we all going to raise when Jesus comes out of the clouds, or do we immediately? And what doesn't matter is those discussions aren't necessary. The discussion that's necessary is right now. Because, see, the saints didn't open their tomb. Their faithfulness got them to the place where the tomb was open. But guess who opened the... And so the bottom line is that your death is your answer. If you're hoping for more after death, then you're hoping for something that's not accurate in the Bible. And so today, can you, will you, experience the aftermath of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And I think each and every one of you want to. This fascinating scene between Jesus' death and resurrection shows the power of both. His death breaks the tombs of the saints, bringing saints out from death's curse, and his new life makes it possible for our new life. Indeed, the foreshadowing of resurrection in this scene, immediately after Christ breathes his last, connects victory to the seeming defeat. Here's the thing, and here's what we forget because we just read so quickly. The tombs were broken at his death. Right there, okay, you can't tell me if you were walking around at that time that you would walk around and say it's a coincidence that all these tombs of these faithful people just happened to crack open at the same time that the veil happened to be torn, at the same time that the storm happened to come, at the same time when the soldiers who were looking upon said, "I can't believe this, this must be real," meaning stuff was happening. I don't know if you ever did Easter musicals, but we did all growing up. And I loved after that moment where and you would like have all the stuff happening and the thunder would be booming. And I know, you know, maybe it's corny, but it always reminded me of the power, the passion, the move of God. Whether we like it or not, a lot happened. And church, many of you are living wishy-washy, not saint-like lives. And then you want to come to me and say, "Well, why isn't?" Then you want to come to me and mope. And then you want to come to me and say, "The church isn't." Get it together. Church, we are living in a dangerous day, and there are not enough saints. Do you think those saints were bickering people? No. Do you think those saints were at each other? No. Why would God open up a tomb to send bickering, grumpy, mopey people around to testify about a resurrection of the Savior of the world? And if that's you, then worry about your tomb not being open. You know, there's good worry. We talked about it, what, a couple of months ago? Some of you need to get to being concerned. Because if this doesn't describe you these last couple of weeks, then you have a problem, and it's not me. And it's not my wife. Get it together. Because the saddest thing for a pastor, right, is a person whose tomb isn't cracked open in anticipation. And let's take it a little bit further back. The greatest concern for a pastor is a heart that's not broken and open and ready for the flow of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the only way you're going to get. Y'all weren't coming to church for this, right? You said, "Pastor, it's 10 out. I mean, I came to church and it's 10 degrees. I know, so did I. So walk the dogs and everything. Anyway, got to get that fence up. So I almost gave them away today, the car that was driving by. I said, "You know what? You want to go see that car?" Because they were pulling, barking at every car. I said, "My wife won't know. Only you, only me, you, and God. And if you get hit, it's the Lord." I mean, anyway, barking at every car, pulling the thing, dropping it. I said, "Oh, goodness." I said, "It is too early for this. You want to go see it?" I almost went, "Go see it." But anyway, God knows the heart, so I held on to it and said, "I'm going to keep this for my kids' sake." And so, and plus, they probably wouldn't run out there anyway. They'd run right to the house. I want you to think about the player in this scene. Here's the thing, church. Okay, in this scene in particular, there is a main player. Everything's been done. Okay, here's what I want you to think for a second. Okay, you have choices now. And I stand every Sunday and try to encourage you to make those choices. Try to encourage you to step into, try to encourage you to, "I can't do it for you," right? But here's the thing. There was nothing the saints could do. There was nothing Jesus could do. He had turned his, right? He had turned his will over to God. And so now his life was in God's hands. And here's what I love. After the death of Jesus, right, he made the decision to go. He made the decision to be faithful. He thought of all of you, and he went to the cross. And then at that, he had to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to have to just let your will, and you're going to have to come. And if you want me to be resurrected, then you're going to have to." The saints didn't say, "Through my power, my tomb's going to be open. When Jesus is resurrected, I'm going to get up and..." No. Now, this is very hellstone fire, but that's what it needs to be today. Because, church, my prayer for you is that your desire be, when the time comes, "I will be." So the main player in this scene was God, not the saints, not you, not Jesus. The main player was God. And I think one day we're going to realize how God felt in those moments following the death of his son. The veil was torn. Things shook. Things were split. Things were opened. Things were raised. They're all passive. What? Implying that God was the acting agent. not the priest, not the saint, not your friend, not your mom. Here, not Jesus, God. God. Just as he will be the one who raises Jesus from the dead, the chapter before. Just as he will be the one that says, okay, Jesus, it's time. Ezekiel 37:12 says, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from the graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, meaning God will do it. Be faithful. God will do it. Stop the nonsense. God will do it. Stand with him. Because guess what? If you do, he will. That's the exciting thing today. We don't serve a worldly God. We serve a God that says, hey, if you'll be faithful, I will. He doesn't say maybe. He says, I will. And church, you should rest at night knowing, come on now, as you go to bed and you say your final prayers, as you kiss whoever to bed, as you pray, as you maybe go to bed alone, guess what you have the promises of? That I will lift you. God is the player in this. And we should be thankful that we can say, okay. Jesus dies. Saints' tombs open. Odd, right? Wouldn't you walk around and just be an odd couple of days? It had to be odd. I'm sorry, I feel like God was mad. He should have been mad. And I also feel like God was getting ready for the third day. And he was saying, yeah, walk by those graves. Wait till they're walking with you in a day and a half. Jesus is raised. The saints are raised. Eyewitness appearances of both. Who is the main character in bringing life? Who breathes life into creation? Who sustains us? God. And so I guess the question today as we come to a closing with all this is, who is your main player? You know what? Some of you, your main player is a list of things, from your past to how you were brought up, to your spouse, to your friends, to your coworkers. I don't know. Church, until God is your main player, until God is the one that you're surrendered to, hold on. It's going to be a bumpy road. And you're going to blame everybody but yourself. All right. So what is all of this? Let's take a quick little journey. We'll make it quick. And I want to take you back through these last couple of weeks. So if you miss, you're going to get a highlight. It's hard for us to understand God's will. Church, if we don't understand God's will and we don't live it out in the moment that we're in, right? I always say, I look around and every crowd is different. And some of you, you've paved the way. And now your way it is to pray for, right? And to seek the Lord for. And so I'm just saying, wherever you are, you need to seek God's will. Wherever you are in life, don't be like, and this is a great reminder when we think about the aftermath, don't be like those that came for a miracle, right? Do you remember this? And left. Be like those that came for a miracle and stayed, and whose lives were transformed for good. See, church, if you'll do that, your life this year in 2022 and your journey with God will be different. Are you walking with, or are you going back? And here's what I'm going to loop each one with. If you're going back, keep concern in your heart for your tomb. You're like, Pastor, you're being rough. I might as well, right? Such a time as this. The second, yes. Many of you let that Sunday go by. You said, praise the Lord. You still showed up the next Sunday. I don't know why, but think about it. That second yes, where you say, my bent is your bent, my will is no longer. Church, we're in the Church of the Nazarene. We believe in holiness. We believe in hearts changing. It's why some people just can't stay in a Nazarene church, and we like to blame it on the pastor. It ain't the pastor. It's hard to sit under holiness preaching. And you know what? It's hard as a pastor to go home and live it out. But I'm committed to it. See, sanctification brings full immersion, which brings full connection to the mission of Jesus. You will never understand the full mission of Jesus, even for yourself, until you say yes to the second yes. Because if you're in the journey in the in-between, which is fine, and we're going to journey with you, it's going to be hard, because it's going to be self, Jesus, Jesus, self, self, Jesus, 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 self, 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 Jesus, Jesus. Meaning the decisions you make, you're going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until you finally say yes. And see, when you finally say yes, now those of you that didn't feel like a young pastor would say these things, but I'll tell you this much. When you finally say yes to the second yes, be ready for your tomb to be opened. Come on now. This church has been preaching it for over 100 years, and the message hasn't changed. God's majesty is made known through his creation, meaning his glory. You are his glory. Look like it. Live like it. We wonder why our kids say, why would I want to? Because you aren't living like you're in the glory. If you've said yes to the second yes, then you're just hands up saying, God, move. It's not a self-imagined, self-perceived, self-created view of his majesty. Rather, it is a fully enveloped, spirit-filled expression of the divine in you. Let it be and enjoy it. Church, enjoy it. And then the hardest one, because this is when we really see if the bent is gone, right, is stewardship. When our time isn't our time, when our talent isn't our talent, when we're not doing traveling this or singing there because we want to be better in the world, but because one day we want to stand here and one day we want to stand there and one day we want to in the church. Because guess who gifted it to you? The enemy says it's for other. God says, no, I actually gave it so y'all could enjoy each other. And then there's our finances. See, many of you, that's the last battle, the last hurrah. And here's the thing, church, I'm just going to be as honest can be. And I don't take raises for a reason. Because I don't want you to ever say I stand here and say it's so the pastor can. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And so, if you're not a good steward of your finances, you should be concerned about your tomb being broken. This is the kind of day we're in. You know why? Because this morning as I went through my prayer list and listed off your names, you know, I pray for your request. I see the three of you sitting there just having faced death, having prayed for them this morning, knowing their hearts are hurting, not even expecting them to be here today. But here they are, right, with a peace in their heart. And so, church, I pray for you and I pray for your needs, but do you know what it always goes to? I mean, I'm concerned about your needs. But you know what? When your health does fail and that health prayer isn't answered, you know the greatest prayer I could have for you is that your soul be right so your tomb can be cracked. Because then when you step into full health, right, and you're no longer worried about your partial health on earth, I'll be able to get with you at some point. And so, church, if you want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, release your finances to the Lord and get over that hurdle so your tomb can be open. Otherwise, your tomb is open. You're living death right now. So the final question of this series, and I want you to understand the people that we've watched in the last couple of weeks, they're living it. They're stepping into it. Some of them early on in their faith, some of them longer, some of them growing up here, some of them not. But there are people that are saying yes, 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 and now yes. And you know what? They're happy. They're doing well. They're experiencing the presence of God even in the midst of trials. And so the final question, and this probably doesn't work, you know, if you're not in the church, this is kind of churchese, is maybe what we call it. But ask yourself, is your tomb, well, think about it like this. If you understand what a saint is, which we covered in the beginning of this message, if you can say, you know what, that's what I'm striving for, not that you've arrived, but that's where my heart is, then can you confidently say today that your tomb will be cracked open and that you will be resurrected in a new body, in a new form, and placed in a place that he has what? Prepared for you. Church, it doesn't really get any better than that. To think about going in a glorified form to the place that he specifically prepared for you as you walked with him. And so, can you say yes to all these weeks and all these journeys? If so, it doesn't matter what happens in 2022. You know why? Because you're walking with the God of 2022. And if you can walk with the God of 2022, it doesn't matter what happens in 2022. And so, as you go out, as you think, wouldn't you want to be chosen by God? Remember, God's the player in this whole scene. Wouldn't you want to be the one whose tomb people are walking by and saying, that's been, what? That's cracked? Why did that crack all of a sudden? And then be the one on the third day that, well, what in the world? How are you? Because of the Lord. Because of the Lord. And if that's your prayer, guess what? Those saints didn't just start walking with God after Jesus' resurrection. You know what they did? They walked with God before their death. And so why not walk with him in fullness now, so that you can walk with him in fullness then? God, today, I know, God, that we have spoken strong words today. And as I studied them this week, I thought, okay, God, prepare me. It's going to be hard. And you said something. And that was, it's going to be hard if they don't. It's going to be lonely if they don't. And it's going to be heartbreaking if they don't. So be bold. And so here today, God, I stand in boldness. And I just pray that we could say yes. And that we could be a part now and later of walking with you. I don't know that there's anything greater than that. In fact, I know that there's nothing greater than that. God, I love you. I thank you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.